presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I hope you got a chance to see Friday's show or listen to Friday's show, however you consume it. I hope you get a chance to do the whole thing, because late on Friday, we had what I thought was a real treat. A chance to talk to the legendary former Georgia quarterback David Green. Now, I always love talking to David on this program because David has unique insight given the fact that he played the quarterback position. And he played at a really high level, huge stats, great success, SEC championship and everything else. Had there been a playoff in the early 2000s, David likely would have led Georgia to it at least at one point in time. David is just he's one of those guys that has traveled down the road as well as any college quarterback can. So when David talks about college quarterbacks, our own Jake Fromm included, I'm always particularly interested in what he had to say. And he said something about Jake on Friday that I thought was really interesting. Now, I'm going to play this for you as a way of kind of going back. But what its purpose is to set us up to talk about something with Jake Fromm today that I don't think can be denied. And Georgia fans need to pay very close attention to what other people are saying about Jake Fromm as he heads towards his junior season here this 2019 fall. But to set all this up, here is David Green reminding us, A, time passes quickly, and Georgia fans need to pause and appreciate just how good Fromm's already been and likely how good he could be moving into 2019. Here is David Green on Jake Fromm.
It's amazing, Brandon, how fast things change. Yeah, it used to be, I mean, heck, even when I was playing this 15 years ago, you know, guys would come in, they typically redshirt a year and kind of get the, you know, get familiar with the offense and the whole deal and the speed of the game. I mean, now guys are coming in, they're ready to play, they're ready to make a difference. And you just, amazing how fast things are changing. Justin Fields comes in, then he's back out, and changes that he's going to be starting at Ohio State. It's such a fast pace. The game's changed dramatically. Georgia fans, we got to pinch ourselves. I mean, it's pretty amazing what Fromm has been able to do since he's been our quarterback. I mean, taking us to the national championship as a true freshman, and just really the way he's handled himself and represented himself in the school at the quarterback position. Well, we've been pretty fortunate because he's been a consistent player for us.
You mentioned back in the year 2000, Jim Donnan's last year.
We'll pull out of that.
That's really good stuff from David Green there, talking about Jake Fromm and just, you know, how quickly all this comes about and how all that goes. And it's really fascinating stuff. And I don't want to sound like, you know, Grandpa B.A. here, but I think what David says is really true. It's amazing how fast the Fromm era seems to be going by. I mean, if you want to go back to some of the early days of Dog Nation, back when we were just a podcast and I was doing it from a closet in my house, and Jeff Sintel would come on the phone back then and he'd be, you know, saying, B.A., you got to wait till you see this young man from Warner Robins from Houston County. Wait till you see Jake Fromm when he gets to Georgia. And he'd tell the stories that have now become cliched and tired, but back then weren't quite so cliche and tired, about how he'd been a hero in the Little League World Series and how he'd, you know, hit a home run in his final at bat, I guess, of his high school baseball career to lead Houston County to a state championship, and how he had that winning gene. Wait till you see him in Athens, Jeff Sintel would say. Well, we've been seeing him in Athens now for the last couple of years, and no doubt we've all been impressed. And now when you move towards that next season, the junior season, as David and I were talking about on Friday in the program, hard to believe it might already be time to start talking about the end of the Jake Fromm era. But in a way, 2019, let's face it, the evidence that we're getting from outside the bubble of Dog Nation, the conversation we have around here every single day, the evidence that we're getting is this indeed could be Jake Fromm's last year. And no matter how many people sort of want to assume that, nah, Fromm's probably going to be a four-year guy and he probably won't leave after his junior season, he probably won't do that, that's not the way that he's being treated by media, scouts, other experts. They continue to treat Jake Fromm as if he will be a junior that departs college early to go be a first-round draft pick in the NFL. Let me give you the latest example of this. I thought that Adam Rittenberg from ESPN had a really interesting piece about a symposium of top draft picks, potential top draft picks, that were in Indianapolis last week for the NFL scouting combine, and they were kept away from the watchful eye of the media. Most people wouldn't have known they were there, but Jake Fromm was a part of this group, including – Tua Tagovailoa, I guess, according to Rittenberg, was there. Andrew Thomas, also from Georgia, was there. That's no big surprise. He's likely to be a very high first-round pick. Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin. A couple Clemson guys, Travis Etienne and Isaiah Simmons. Grant Delpit, the really good safety from LSU. And I love the description of why they are there. Let me show you this on the screen if you're watching on video. This is how Rittenberg sums all this up. He says, the symposiums are invitation only. In football, NCAA staff researches players entering their third or fourth seasons, listen to this phrase now, who are projected as top draft selections the following year. So if you don't hear anything else that I'm saying right now, hear this. According to one of ESPN's top college football writers, and according to a NCAA staff researcher, right now Jake Fromm is in the group considered to be a top draft selection the following year. Folks, if you're a quarterback and you're going to be a top selection, for the most part, you're not sticking around school. Now, they're the occasional examples, I guess, where this happens. Andrew Luck, I guess, did this, and maybe there are other examples too. But for the most part, if you're a junior quarterback, you are told you're going in the first round. That is when you leave school and you move on to the first round. So, folks, enjoy Jake Fromm apparently in 2019, because that may be the last chance you get to see him in a Georgia uniform. Now, this is also a conversation that we've had in part with other experts here on Dog Nation Daily over the last couple of months, including a guy that knows Fromm very well, knows the quarterback position really well, too. Trent Dilfer is the head coach, so to speak, of the Elite 11 quarterback camp. He evaluates quarterbacks for a living. He kind of talks quarterbacks for a living. We bumped into him back during the Super Bowl week when the entire football world had descended upon Atlanta, and I asked him at the time, do you see this in Jake Fromm's future? Do you think that he will leave Georgia after his junior season? And maybe more importantly than that, what will he need to do to be ready to make that move? And Dilfer gave a strong response. Here's Trent Dilfer.
I think he needs to be a little more athletic at the position. He needs to improve in the pocket. He needs to improve his movement patterns. He's got the arm. He's got the brain. He's got the toughness. He's got the leadership. He needs to step it up a little bit athletically. And at that age, you can still improve athletically. So we'll see what this next year has for him. But for me, my emphasis if I was coaching him would be show a little more dynamic qualities as an athlete.
So I think it's really interesting that Dilfer gives a pretty honest, I think, assessment and a pretty thorough description of what you want to see from Jake Fromm if he indeed were to leave school after the season. But let's face it, that could happen. Look at the improvement he showed in 2018 compared to 2017. And look how quickly he readied himself in that first year of 2017 as a freshman to become Georgia's starting quarterback after Jacob Eason got injured. We have seen stair steps of progression thus far through Jake Fromm's career. It's reasonable to assume he'll take the next step in 2019, and it could be one that puts him on the doorstep of being drafted as a junior exiting school early to go to the NFL draft. So for 2019, Fromm's your guy. Maybe he leads Georgia to a national championship. But concurrent to that, you've also got to start thinking about what's going to happen once Jake Fromm does leave. Because let's face it, Georgia's not in this business to win one national championship. Georgia's trying to be in this business to win multiple national championships and build something at Georgia that could potentially feel like a dynasty, something that could last for a really long time. That means the quarterback after Jake Fromm really matters. Is that guy currently on this roster? Well, Dwan Mathis, the incoming freshman, wants to be that guy, and he certainly seems to have the right attitude about all of this. I think he's using his opportunity now to sit and watch and learn from Jake Fromm as a real asset in his development. In fact, when Mike Griffith went up to Michigan to speak to Mathis, Mathis made that very clear, that a chance to sit and learn from a quarterback that's already established and proven so much in the competition for the next Jake Fromm, Dwan Mathis says he wants to use that to his advantage. Here is the incoming Georgia freshman.
Really, I'm just coming in to work and put my head down and do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not coming in to, of course I'm going to compete, but I'm not coming in to just try to push Jake Fromm out the way and take his job, because of course the chance of that happening are very low. He as soon as he came in, he went straight to the national championship and played for a national championship. A game that a lot of people thought they were going to win to the very end, came down to the last wire. But really, when I come in, I'm just coming in to work hard and do what I'm supposed to do and learn what I can from Jake Fromm and see where that can take me.
So that attitude, I believe, will serve Mathis well both this season, what's likely to be a season of learning, and then in 2020 when he could be a part of that competition. And presumably one of the guys that he'll be in that competition with for 2020 is the recent Georgia commit, Carson Beck. Now, back, committed to Georgia in a bit of a whirlwind. His recruitment has been contested, probably will continue to be so up to the point where he signs. But if we assume for a moment that Beck sticks with his UGA commitment, and there's no reason to think right now that he won't, Beck will be one of the guys that Mathis is competing with. And when Carson Beck spoke to First Coast News down near Jacksonville, where Beck lives, the other day, in one of the first wide-ranging interviews we've heard from Beck since he committed to Georgia, Beck also talked about the notion of quarterback competition. Well, guess what? If Fromm leaves after the 2019 season, then Beck's ability to step in and compete right away will be really important. And he made it very clear to the TV interviewer the other day that competing is exactly something that he expects to do, and he's not going to shy away from a quarterback competition at Georgia or any of the other schools that he might have considered. Here's Carson Beck.
I mean, truly, to me, I really didn't care who was in the quarterback room because, I mean, let's say, for example, I'm just going to use Michigan as an example. Okay. So say that they have a full quarterback room, but they're the number one team in the country. They have everybody, yeah. And I have a good chance of beating out those quarterbacks. Like, I'm going to go there. But I feel like that was the same with Florida. And then obviously Georgia had, I mean, just like you said, Justin Fields transferred. Jake Fromm could have a possibility of leaving, but if he comes back a senior year, I redshirt and learn behind someone that's been a four-year starter. So I feel like it definitely played a little effect in it, but at the end of the day, I mean, I just chose the best fit for me.
All right, so I think that's really interesting from Carson Beck, that he's not afraid of the competition. He's ready to step in, and you know, he kind of says, hey, listen, if Fromm's still here, I'll learn from him. If not, I'll try to step in place of him. I like that from Beck. The overall bottom line for me, though, is two distinct points. The first point is, if Jake Fromm does truly play well enough this year to put himself in the conversation for the first-round draft next spring, first round of the NFL draft next spring, that's almost certainly a good thing for Georgia because he'll probably lift the entire fortunes of the program along his way to doing that. But while Fromm is succeeding in that way, Georgia's got to be thinking about what's next. And Georgia fans ought to be paying a little bit of attention to what's next. Is it already in the roster with DeJuan Mathis? Is it about to show up in Carson Beck? Is it, well, who is it? And how will it all fit in? That's a really important question as 2019 turns into 2020. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today on the Dog Nation Facebook page, the YouTube page, the Dog Nation Twitter feed. A lot of different ways to access our program on video. We appreciate you doing that. We love our friends on the radio in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we love the podcast. A lot of different ways to catch up with the podcast, too. Apple Podcast Player, the Android devices, the world-famous DogNation.com. Just a lot of opportunities. We just appreciate you being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. We're going to get Chip Towers coming up in just a moment, and I'll talk to Chip about some of the issues with Fromm and maybe what's next for Georgia, the quarterback position. We'll look forward to doing that with him coming up in a couple of minutes. Let me also remind you, as we head towards St. Patrick's Day, many of you love celebrating that. Well, a great way to celebrate that is with our friends at Kroger. They've got you covered for St. Patrick's Day savings on a lot of those authentic items to make your St. Patrick's Day meal party go the way it's supposed to. Corned beef brisket, cabbage, potatoes. It's the perfect St. Patrick's Day dinner, and you can get great savings and recipes at Kroger. Go to this website right here, Kroger.com/whatsfordinner. Kroger.com/whatsfordinner. You can find out a lot more about that. All right, before we get Chip Towers, and we'll do a lot of spring preview stuff with Chip in a moment, let me also talk about what somebody else has recently said about Georgia as it gets ready to begin its spring practice. We'll probably do some of this now, and then we'll do some of this a little bit later on in the show, too. Bill Bender, friend of our program, been on Dog Nation Daily a number of times, writing for the Sporting News, has said that he believes that the Georgia G-Day game is going to be one of college football's most anticipated spring games, and he kind of gives the reason for that. If you're watching on video, I'll show you this on the screen. And what I think is interesting about what Bill writes is it's very similar to a lot of what we've talked about on Dog Nation Daily recently, the importance of the wide receiver position. Bill says it this way. He says, we know Jake Fromm is a stable of running backs, but who is he throwing to? Five of the top six leading receivers from last year are gone, and Jeremiah Holloman is the top target on the roster. Senior Tyler Simmons will take on a more pronounced role, and Charlie Werner is the top returning tight end. This is an opportunity for the Bulldogs' young receivers to show out. That's Bill Bender from the Sporting News. And I think that Bill's right about that. I think that one of the most interesting and fun things about G-Day is seeing who does show up. Now, if you're watching a video, you see J.J. Holloman right there on your screen. He was a G-Day star a couple of years ago, and then last season on the field kind of showed more evidence of what the promise he initially showed on G-Day. But if you're coming into Sanford Stadium, and no doubt there'll be a huge crowd there once again to watch all of that, seeing how those receivers perform, I think is going to be as much fun and as much as interesting as anything possibly could be. And to add to this for a moment, you know, Mike Griffith last week when he was in Indianapolis for the scouting combine, he talked to a number of former Georgia wide receivers, guys who were there, Riley Ridley, Terry Godwin, Mecole Hardman, and asked them along with Bill Bender's line of thinking of which receiver is going to step up and show out. Well, Mike asked a lot of former Georgia receivers that, too. You can read the piece at DogNation.com. But let me give you an example of what a few of those guys thought. Riley Ridley on that question, you read this at Dog Nation. He says, I'm going to bet on J.J. Holloman, and I'm going to bet on Tyler Simmons, and here's Matt Lander's name coming up from Riley Ridley. I think that's really interesting. Another Georgia receiver, Mecole Hardman, says, a guy that comes to mind is also Matt Landers. He says, if he gets his head right and gets that playbook down, he'll have his name called on a lot of Saturdays. Mecole goes on to say, of course, J.J. Holloman is going to be the leader of that room. I expect great things from him, and I expect Tyler Simmons to do some things. That's Mecole Hardman speaking about all of this. Then one more Georgia receiver who stepped in and talked about this a bit was Terry Godwin, who also says Matt Landers. So by my count, all three of these former Georgia wide receivers all mention Matt Landers as a possible to step up. And then Godwin also mentions Kyaris Jackson and Tommy Bush, who's always a very popular player in our comments section. Terry goes on to say that there'll be quite a few back there. I'm pretty sure they will show out this year. So I think it's really interesting stuff from Riley Ridley, Mecole Hardman, and Terry Godwin on the subject of which wide receivers will step up for Georgia. Now, later on the program, I'm going to go back in time a bit to let you hear what Mike Griffith had to say about what these Georgia wide receivers did not mention when it comes to a wide receiver stepping up. And I think Mike's point on this is kind of an interesting one. We'll kind of hear that. And Kirby Smart will also remind us, too, about what really matters as this wide receiver competition intensifies. So we'll do more of this on the topic later on today here on Dog Nation Daily. I'll also give away a Road to Atlanta t-shirt, too. But I do think it's interesting that the national media there, very similar to what we've been saying on Dog Nation Daily for quite some time, that wide receiver competition, one of the most interesting and one of the most fun as the Dogs head towards spring. Speaking of spring practice, for more on that and what we can expect on G-Day coming up on April 20th, let's talk to a guy who's done a good job chronicling all of this for Dog Nation. It's our buddy Chip Towers right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
I want to welcome back Chip Towers to Dog Nation Daily. And as I said to our audience before Chip joined us, he has had some really fun spring previews up at DogNation.com. Really thorough analysis and stuff like this just gets me excited. I love spring football because it's as close as we're going to get to real football before late August, early September. So I'll take what I can get. And spring football offers you a little bit of that. And Chip, I do want to talk to you about a good bit of these spring previews. If you don't mind, as I say good morning to you, let me also let you weigh in on a topic that I addressed before you joined us. When you look, Chip, at Adam Rittenberg's piece over the weekend or late last week from ESPN.com about Jake Fromm being with Tua Tagovailoa and some Andrew Thomas and some others at the NFL scouting combine last week as selected by the NCAA to learn what that process is about, there's really no other way to take this other than what mock drafts have been telling us and NFL draft media has been telling us, that right now Jake Fromm is being treated as a quarterback that could leave Georgia after his junior season. Now, Trent Dilfer's told us that Fromm still has some things to work on, but let's face it, he could work on those things and make another big step towards improvement the way that he did in 2018. How realistic do you think this could be that Jake Fromm is playing his final football games for Georgia in 2019?
I think it'll be determined in the 2019 season. I mean, I don't think Jake Fromm can sit here today and tell you with any strong conviction that he plans to be back or he plans to go after his junior season. That'll be determined with how things go on the field. And, you know, that's the good thing about it. As long as Jake Fromm remains healthy, he'll be given every opportunity to play himself into one of the elite draft positions at quarterback, because Georgia's going to enter the season as a top five team. They're going to enter the season as an Eastern Division favorite, and they're going to enter the season as one of the favorite teams to reach the college football playoff. If Jake Fromm is able to pull all that off, and let's face it, there's no question about it. He's going to be the man as long as he's healthy. I think that'll put him in prime position to be drafted in the first round. And as you know, nowadays, I mean, if you got command first round money, if you command first round position, it's really financially wise to make that jump. So I don't think any of that determined right now. But you know Jake Fromm like I do. You know, everybody out there knows Jake Fromm. It's spring break. That means where is he, at the beach? No, he's at this quarterback camp that he attends every year. Out in Mississippi, working on his game.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling he'll be ready to go by the time the first game rolls around, and then we'll see what happens.
So, obviously, the last thing I don't want to do is push Jake Fromm out the door, but as I told our audience before you joined us, Chip, concurrent to celebrating and enjoying Fromm this season, what he might be able to lead Georgia to, it is a really important question to start thinking about what's next after Fromm. Now, if Justin Fields was still here, that would be an easy question to answer. Fields would step in, and he'd emerge in the starting role. But now it's looking closely at Dwan Mathis and seeing, does he have what it takes to one day be the starting quarterback? Listening closely to the things that we're hearing under the state of Florida, Carson Beck, the Georgia commit, does he have the makings of a future star? Does Georgia have to do what Florida State just did and take on a transfer quarterback? Alex Hornibrook's going to leave Wisconsin and go to Tallahassee. As Georgia appreciates Fromm, there is also a need to think about what's next after Fromm, too, is there not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I mean, you're drilling down on it right there, and that's the issue facing Georgia going forward. This is what, remains to me such a perplexing thing with the whole Justin Fields equation and I guess modern-day football as a whole, because, this was always, to me, I thought the way it was set up made sense to me. I know that was the sales pitch that Kirby Smart and Jim Chaney and the offensive brain trust at the time put on Justin Fields, that, if things go the way we plan for them to go, you will have an opportunity to move into the starting role as a junior. Now, I'm sure they'd sell it to him in that way, per se. They told him that he'd come in and be able to beat out Fromm, and that's where the frustration came in. So now it is what it is. I mean, you got Dwan Mathis and Stetson Bennett in there. And I love, you and I have talked about it on this show before, I love that addition of Stetson Bennett. I think that really helps things in the immediate, should there be any problems with Fromm coming into this season, because Bennett's the guy who knows that system. Dwan Mathis, however, is a little bit farther away, and I don't think any of us view Stetson Bennett, all due respect to him, is really, an elite SEC-level quarterback, championship level quarterback. So yeah, it's going to have to come from recruiting. I mean, Jeff Sintel's all over it. You're all over it. Georgia's in on the best quarterbacks in the country, and as we've seen with Trevor Lawrence and many others, it's possible to come in and have a great impact as a freshman quarterback. But it's not easy. It's possible. So yeah, the Georgia's scouring the country, and I'm sure they'll sign, if not one elite quarterback in this coming class, maybe two.
So I want to be very candid about my current view of the quarterback situation, and I think that you had an interesting evaluation of it right there. I'm not yet sure that Mathis nor Bennett is a long-term starting quarterback for Georgia once that Jake Fromm is gone. But if you compare the two of them right now, I think there's a better chance that Mathis is one day a starting caliber quarterback in the SEC. But for 2019, I think it's probably a better chance that Stetson Bennett is the backup quarterback to Jake Fromm, and it sounds like you agree with that.
Yeah, he's 5'11", 185, 195, whatever they list him at, and they tend to measure those guys with cleats on, right, on hard concrete. So and how many of those guys do you see running around in Power Five football right now? That's not to say that he can't do it, and I've heard nothing but great things about Stetson Bennett. We've repeated many times what Mel Tucker and Georgia's defensive player said as Georgia prepared for the Rose Bowl. His production was impressive at the junior college level, but being an every down quarterback, can that get you what you need in an SEC football season? I don't know, Georgia. Here's the thing about Kirby Smart, though. He's made it clear at every position, whether it be run back or right guard or defensive tackle, they're constantly going to try to, and he doesn't just say recruit your position, he's trying to recruit over at the position. So he's always trying to create competition, and that's why, you know, going through these breakdowns, PA, it's just really fascinating to read, it, you know, up close when you start breaking it down what Kirby and his staff have been able to do at every position. I mean, there's great competition, and there's, you know, a glut at a couple of positions. And what generally has happened under his leadership is, you know, there'll be a dearth that he recognizes somewhere. Like a few years ago, it was offensive line. You know, 2 years later, you're looking at 15, 16, 18 offensive linemen of an elite level competing for those positions. You know, right now, you know, there's a dearth maybe here or there, maybe, you know, maybe an inside linebacker, maybe a couple other positions, but it's being addressed, you know, significantly through recruiting. Same thing extends to quarterbacks and all the positions.
Let me move on to a different number two, not the number two quarterback this time, but the number two running back. And this is a part of the spring preview series that people can find at DogNation.com. It's ongoing, and it's really, as I said before, a great way to get excited about spring practice and eventually G-Day coming up later on the month of April. But, Chip, my opinion about the running back position is very simple. I think that 2,500 yards, give or take 100 or two, is a magic number for Georgia. I think it's got to be there. Otherwise, doing everything he wants to do this season, it's going to be a lot harder to do that if you don't have that, you know, 1,300 or 1,400-yard leading rusher. We assume that's DeAndre Swift, and then 1,000 or 1,100 yards coming from the next guy. Between the competition of Harrion and White and Cook, I won't even ask you to sort of guess who the number two is going to be, but between that competition from the three there, adding to what DeAndre Swift already is Georgia going to be able to get back in that 2,400, 2,500-yard category again in 2019, you think?
Oh, absolutely I do. And you know, it has as much to do with that offensive line as it does the candidates, you know, in the backfield. You know, I think that's once you get to this level, it's not to devalue the running back position, because, listen, let me be clear about it. I think DeAndre Swift is a very special talent, and we've all seen that. But, you know, his problem is a little bit of a small guy, and, you know, he obviously plays a position that takes a lot of punishment. He also plays in a way, you know, the way DeAndre Swift plants and cuts is just otherworldly, but can lead to some, you know, a lot of injuries when you play that way. But I agree with everything you say, and I would take it a step further. I think that number's 3,000 yards. I mean, I think that's what Georgia's looking for ultimately, and I think that's ultimately what it gets when it produces at least one elite rusher. But you're always going to have four or five who are going to get touches in Georgia's system, and some of that's going to come in the second half. But I think Brian Harrion's that guy. I don't have really a hard time coming to that conclusion. You know, I think Brian Harrion is the type of guy at a as a 6 foot, you know, almost 6 foot one, 210. He still listed 210 pounds, but I swear, BA, every time I see that guy, he looks like a 225 prototype tailback. You know, he's a senior now, and I just compare it to Elijah Holyfield. I mean, if you look at Elijah Holyfield, Brian Harrion is everything that Elijah Holyfield was, but he's just a little bit bigger. He's just a little bit faster, and I think certainly in a changeup with DeAndre Swift, you know, represents almost everything that Georgia had last year. Now, look, this was, you know, you recounted ad nauseum the misses that Georgia had at the tailback position in recruiting this year, and you know, the whole Elijah Holyfield equation still remains a little bit perplexing to me, and that's what's left a little bit of a gap in there. But I think between that offensive line, what DeAndre Swift's going to give you, and just the general makeup of Georgia's offense and offensive strategy, I think Georgia's going to get what they need. 3,000 yards, that's the number for me. If you get 3,000, you can look for Georgia to be in that playoff.
That would certainly be a very exciting thing to think about. Chip, let me talk about the wide receivers with you for a moment. Obviously, I've talked a ton about them already this offseason. I think that's a crucial thing for a Georgia. And I guess what it comes down to for me is, and you've written about this, and we've all had our turn on this, there's no shortage of potential names for Georgia, the wide receiver position. And I think there's plenty of evidence to suggest that Georgia's going to be pretty good at wide receiver this year. But I think Georgia also needs for a guy to step up head and shoulders better than the rest. In other words, can they find a great receiver amongst this crop of good receivers? What's your early handicap on that?
Yeah, I love your focus on the wide receivers, Brandon. I would venture out there to say it's almost an obsession. I understand why, because obviously Georgia just lost a tremendous amount of production. I mean, that can't be underplayed how much production they lost. But I really like what Georgia has coming back, and I think in a way, a door has sort of been kicked open for some of these guys. I think guys like Tyler Simmons are fascinating me. I mean, I think it's clear that J.J. Holloman, is an SEC, elite receiver and can get the job done. Tyler Simmons doesn't have that distinction, though, but, people forget about this kid. Not only is he I'll use this term, otherworldly blocker, which is so important to Kirby Smart, which he's made infinitely clear, but he's also one of the fastest players on the team. Another one of the fastest players on the team is Demetrius Robertson. And you kind of look at it retrospectively, and you can understand it. It's still hard to believe Demetrius Robertson didn't have a catch last year, but you look at it, and he was really behind three people at that position, in Mecole Hardman and Akil Crumpton and Terry Goblin, and that was a lot of room to make up just to be able to get in the rotation. And then, Georgia tried to pick and choose spots with him and really try to build in some special big plays. But I think Demetrius Robertson is an every down type of wide receiver, and once he gets in there and has that opportunity, which he obviously will have this year, that's going to be a fascinating thing. Then you throw in the five stars that Georgia signed in Pickens and Blaylock, and we're not even mentioning all those other guys. We tend to forget in these time of year the guys that have been waiting in the wings, guys like Pierce Jackson, who's been redshirted for a year, or the guys that aren't in the middle of the rotation. But yeah, I'm like everybody else, can't wait to see Pickens, can't wait to see Blaylock and where they might be able to fit in. But again, the total of Georgia's defense, to me, it always lands back on that offensive line and that quarterback. And I think that just gives you all kinds of a heads up. You don't need necessarily Julio Jones, to come in there and have a productive passing game the way Georgia's set up. They've got plenty of guys who I think are capable of getting the job done and can get deep on some secondaries on those play action fake. I think there's plenty of guys of that pedigree in Georgia's camp right now.
Let me finish up with this, and I'll admit this could not matter less, but I do love the soap opera behind college football, and I thought you had an interesting take on this the other day. So, as you know, Eddie Grant, the Kentucky offensive coordinator, goes public in Lexington about once again being offered the Georgia offensive coordinator job. And as I've said, for me, his take on this and the Georgia take on this probably to a certain extent comes down to semantics. But you pointed out something that Dog Nation that I thought was kind of interesting, that just given the particulars of this situation, it seems reasonable to assume that he was probably offered some sort of co-offensive coordinator role at Georgia to go along with the guy that he'd worked with in the past in James Coley. And I think that's an interesting way to look at what likely happened. But I guess, Chip, it boils down to this, and this is the thing I'm curious to get your opinion on. Do you think that Georgia, whether it's Grant or somebody else, Dan Enos, I guess you could factor into this too, who's now at Miami, do you think that Georgia would have offered play-calling responsibilities to someone before it offered those to James Coley?
Yeah, no, I don't think they would. I don't think that was ever the plan. And look, let me tell you, I can't really write this per se because I can't substantiate it unequivocally. But let me tell you what's going on here. The power broker in the Southeastern Conference in the SEC is Jimmy Sexton, the agent who represents almost every head coach in the SEC. He represents Kirby Smart. He also represents Eddie Grant. And look, there's a lot of wheeling and dealing that goes on. I don't think Eddie Grant ever had the intention of leaving Kentucky and coming to Georgia. I don't think Georgia ever had the intention of hiring Eddie Grant to come on at Georgia if you think that's the truth, then you got to think that he's willing to come on and take a back seat to James Coley as offensive coordinator and effectively a demotion, or either just come to Georgia as an $850,000 or $900,000 a year tight end. Come on. You know, I mean, let's be honest about this. And so, you know, they come in, they fly in here, they meet with you. Hey, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Yeah, you got a position like that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Would you be interested? And then they go back and tell them, hey, I talked to Georgia. Is he lying? No, he talked to Georgia. What are you talking to Georgia about? I don't know. I wasn't in the room with Kirby Smart and Eddie Grant, and you know, they're both going to say what they're going to say. And we'll never really know what the truth is. But all I think that is just I think it goes on all the time in college football. I think it goes on in the NFL. It's a huge fraternity. And, you know, the bottom line is Eddie Grant got a nice little bump out of it, and he'll be the offensive coordinator for Kentucky when they come back to Sanford Stadium next year. Now, whether anything he said or did upset Kirby Smart or is in tandem with Kirby Smart, I don't know. We'll never know the truth. But that's what happened here, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, James Coley was always going to be Georgia's offensive coordinator. I believe he was always going to be Georgia's chief strategist and play caller, and that's certainly what he is now, and I'm eager to see what it looks like. I think he's excited about it, and I think he's got a lot of parts to work with, as we just went over.
Chip, really good stuff, and boy, I'm just like you. I'm eager to see how it all starts coming together starting this spring. We'll continue to enjoy reading your spring previews at DogNation.com, and we'll look forward to having you back here on Dog Nation Daily again very soon as well.
You got it. About to publish some inside linebackers group right now.
That's a pretty good group, Chip. That'll be a good read.
All right.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, inside linebackers. You know, you talk about a long group of names for potential competition there. That's a fun, deep group at Georgia. That's going to be a lot of fun to see at DogNation.com from Chip Towers. As we transition to our SEC Through, let me remind you about our friends over at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know, they do a lot of really cool things, and this is important for your house, right? It's foundation repair, it's basement waterproofing, it's crawl space encapsulation, but sometimes there's a little nervousness, a little anxiety about, oh, gosh, a cracked foundation just seems really, really hard to fix. But, you know, for Engineered Solutions of Georgia, I think one of the things you're going to find is it's nowhere near as challenging as you might think, because they got a full-time engineer on staff. They do this for a living. These are experts at this, and so they're going to show you a plan for getting your house back the way it needs to be in a way that's not going to be as bad as you might think, and it's going to just really go great. And so if you've got a cracked foundation, wet basement, or a damp crawl space, that's the evidence that something's not quite the way that it needs to be. Engineered Solutions of Georgia can get your house back up into perfect ship-shaped condition. So give them a call right now at 678-ESOG-NOW. That's 678-ESOG-NOW. Great, easy phone number to remember, and it's always fun to talk about Engineered Solutions of Georgia right here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, let me give you a quick piece of breaking news. New York Post is reporting that Urban Meyer, just like before, has now taken a TV analyst job. He's going to work with Fox. And it sounds like, according to what the Post is reporting, that Fox is now trying to build an empire from a college football standpoint that rivals what ESPN is doing. And that, as much as anything, could be worth watching here. We all know that Meyer's a total fraud and a total phony, that this departure from Ohio State is no different than the one from Florida. We think he's going to be back coaching again at some point in time really soon. That just seems obvious. And just like he went to ESPN before, this is like the one-year stopover that probably gets him the USC job or whatever else. You can fill in the blanks on that on your own time. But watching Fox try to grow its football broadcasting presence in the college football world could also be really interesting, not just because some of this drama is always fun to watch, but remember, what have we seen the last couple of years? The leagues that Fox broadcasts for, Big Ten included, they're not really a part of the college football conversation. And sometimes, I should say, the playoff conversation. They've been excluded. So for a lot of these teams that Fox does games for, compared to, like, say, the SEC, where they just seem to have a better argument in favor of them, as Fox tries to grow its TV presence, does that also benefit the other leagues for which Fox broadcasts? That could become an interesting thing to watch here. So New York Post reporting that Urban Meyer is going to be a TV analyst for them. So I guess no teaching the ethics class or whatever it was he was supposed to teach. I guess all that's now in the rearview mirror. All right, speaking of inside linebackers,
very interesting contrast. Chip's about to post his piece at DogNation.com showing how deep Georgia is that position. There is reason to believe right now that Alabama is not quite as deep. And this is, I guess, potentially a serious story, although I have no idea what's going on. But Ollie Cahoe, I'm probably butchering that name. You'll remember Cahoe, though. We've talked a good bit about him. At one point in time, this is a big steal for Alabama. Cahoe had initially signed with Washington, but Alabama swoops in and gets him. It was a little bit weird that he left Washington when he did. Shows up at Alabama, kind of special teams guy, I guess, last year. But thought to be right in the middle of that interior linebacker competition for the Crimson Tide this year. But he's been away from the team as they're beginning spring practice. And it's safe to say that no one really knows what's going on. At least Alabama's not talking a ton about this. There are also some reports that KO is getting ready to come back to practice again. So maybe whatever he's dealing with in his personal life. Saban said something to the effect that he's kind of dealing with some stuff right now. I think that was Saban's way of describing this. Sounds like, according to some reports, I think Rivals had this, that he's going to come back to practice. But watch for Alabama this spring dealing with a little bit of an uncertain situation for its interior linebackers. That's a position where they've dealt with a lot of injuries and everything else. So this one could be worth watching and paying attention to. Let me also, for a moment, make kind of an obscure point about something. I talked before and I told Chip I love the soap opera of college football. One of the things that many of you are also really aware of is how much I love coaching rumors. I live for it. Some of you know that so much that you even send me news stories and things like that that involve juicy coaching rumors because many of you know how much I like them. Over the course of the last couple of years in the SEC, really for a while now, when coaching rumors popped up, there were two names you always heard. Remember, you always heard the connection John Gruden to Tennessee, the groomers as they were called, that Gruden was going to swoop in and save Tennessee. And then seemingly you heard Chip Kelly's name, the former Oregon Philadelphia Eagles coach, mentioned for every opening that came up. Well, guess what? Now we're back to having both Kelly and Gruden coaching again, neither coach in the SEC. John Gruden's the coach of the Raiders. Chip Kelly's the coach of UCLA. I think we're starting to see some evidence that those rumors connecting Gruden and Kelly to all these SEC jobs, I think we're starting to see that those SEC teams that didn't hire Kelly and Tennessee not hiring John Gruden, that's going to end up being viewed as a very good decision. We don't talk NFL here. I'm a much bigger college football fan. But for the Raiders to skip on paying Khalil Mack, the pass rusher, a bunch of money in his prime, only to see Mack go to the Chicago Bears and light the league on fire, only to then give even more money to an Antonio Brown that, from an age standpoint, might be past his prime, I think it shows that the Gruden era with the Raiders is on its way to being an unmitigated disaster. And Tennessee hiring Pruitt instead of Gruden, if that was ever even a real possibility, is actually going to end up being, for the Vols standpoint, a really good thing. I don't know how good Gruden, I don't know how good Pruitt is as a coach, but he's going to be a better manager in the SEC than Gruden would have been. Chip Kelly the same way. There are plenty of media reports that would have told you that Chip Kelly and Florida had gotten very far down the line in talking to each other. I said at the time that I wish Florida was this dumb, but I know ultimately it won't be. It's not going to hire Chip Kelly because Chip Kelly's too weird to coach in the SEC. Well, look at him at UCLA. Their recruiting class barely finished in the top 50. They lost a kid to Washington who chose to walk on in Seattle as opposed to get a scholarship in beautiful Westwood of Los Angeles. Chip Kelly would have been a disaster in the SEC. So I don't really know what that means, but the nature of rumors when it comes to coaching in the SEC has forever changed because, you know, these heroes that have been viewed as we're going to step in and swoop in and dominate the league and save the embattled program, the John Gruden, the Chip Kelly. We got a lot of evidence right now that neither of these coaches are as good as at one point in time they were cracked up to be. Also, one more really, really quick SEC story because I'm running a little late here. Count me as pro Will Wade in the Will Wade versus FBI versus NCAA versus LSU battle. That's a lot of acronyms, I realize, but count me on Wade's side. I have no idea why the FBI is weighing in on this, wading into these waters. That doesn't make any sense to me. The NCAA has zero credibility when it comes to this. They come down hard on the Ole Misses, the LSUs of the world. They let programs like North Carolina skate on different issues, but in some respects, more serious issues. LSU is suspending indefinitely Wade. Javonte Smart, one of their players. But if you really think you've got the goods on Wade, then why not just fire him? LSU's trying to have it both ways. I think Joey Olivas, the athletic director, has no credibility in this whatsoever. Wade may not be an angel. That's certainly true. But he's not that different than the rest of college basketball. So I think he's being treated unfairly. So let me just weigh in on that, and we'll call that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, before I give away a Road to Atlanta t-shirt, let me go back in time to a little earlier in the program. Now, Chip Towers also weighed in on the subject of wide receivers, but we talked about what some former Georgia receivers, guys like Riley Ridley and Terry Godwin and Mecole Hardman, had told Dog Nation a few days ago about who they believe was going to step up. Some of the names you heard a lot of were, you know, we heard Matt Lander's name a few times. J.J. Holloman's name obviously comes up over and over. Tyler Simmons' name comes up over and over. But Mike Griffith, who was the reporter on hand to collect those quotes from the three former Georgia receivers, he thought it was very interesting, a name that you did not hear come up in that discussion. And last week on Dog Nation Daily, Mike pointed that out.
I wondered why nobody was talking about Demetrius Robertson. I didn't hear his name, and I didn't want to follow up and ask, because then it wouldn't have been a very genuine interview. If I asked the open-ended question, who are some guys we're going to hear from? And that was what they said. Now, maybe they were under the impression that I was looking for younger guys' names. I don't know what they were thinking, but I thought it was really odd that nobody mentioned Demetrius Robertson's name.
So why did Ridley and Hardman and Godwin not mention Demetrius Robertson when they were talking about potential breakouts for Georgia in 2019? Obviously, none of us know for sure. But if we listen to Georgia coach Kirby Smart in the past, I think he might suggest, because just because you have the highest recruiting accolades, after all, Robertson was a former five-star, that doesn't necessarily mean you're destined to win the competition at Georgia. Here's how Kirby Smart said that last summer.
Well, how they came in does not matter to us. That means nothing in that room. Every time you guys print something about the receivers, it's about how many five-stars are in there. But the guys that are playing best right now in there, none of them had five-stars. So we go off performance. I mean, the receiver position is, where do you help the team the most? Can you cover a kick? Can you block somebody? Can you make a play outside on the perimeter that nobody can make? And right now, that has nothing to do with what you were regarded as coming in. So is the culture of competition good? Absolutely. Because maybe those guys that were three stars and four stars have outworked the guys that were five, because none of that makes a decision for us. All we do is say, who's playing well? And right now, the guys that are playing best at receiver were not the highly regarded guys.
So I think it's an interesting point from Kirby Smart, and I guess here's my wrap-up on all of this. I don't think Mike Griffith is wrong for pointing out that the other Georgia receivers didn't mention Robertson, but because they didn't mention Robertson, I don't think that necessarily means that those guys won't see Robertson emerge as the breakout guy. I think hearing Kirby say things like he just heard for a year can make an impact on you. I think that's going to make a positive impact on Demetrius Robertson. I am still expecting big things from him in 2019. Let me also get ready to give away a Road to Atlanta t-shirt. Let's go back to the beginning and do it the way we did it on the very first day. The email to remember, dndtshirts@gmail.com. Once again, dndtshirts@gmail.com. Send me a pic of you having subscribed to Dog Nation on YouTube. Even if you did it before, go ahead and send it again so we can draw a new crop of names. We'll give away a Road to Atlanta t-shirt right here on Dog Nation Daily tomorrow. Also, Gator Hater Updater. We love beating those lousy stinking Gators, and it's been 863 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. That's good news. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.